comment. I was thinking, should I have spoken? And in the end, I just said, okay, look, God, if I should have spoken to that man, okay, by the time I get to the Orange Tree, the pub, okay, and I was listening to Radio 2 at the time, I said, if I should have spoken to that man, I want some lyric to come on the lyrics of this song that's on Radio 2, okay? By the time I get to the Orange Tree, if you've spoken to me by that song, I'll turn around and I'll go back and I'll speak to that guy. The first time it was an instrumental all the way. It was an instrumental, I promise you, all the way. It was an instrumental, like just music playing from where I drove to the Orange Tree. And I just thought, okay, that's it. I don't have to do anything. And then I suddenly thought, well, why do I still feel bad? And then I thought, okay. So I stopped the car and I thought, I'll turn around. And as I was turning around, the instrumental changed and the music was this. Everyone's got to do what you can. Everyone's got to do what... I'm not joking. And the thing was, what I realized was that I wanted God to make this decision for me. And I said, well, if you really want me to do it, God, I'll do it. And I think God was just saying, look, I've already spoken to you. Make up, do it. You've just got to do what you can. So then I drove all the way back from the Orange Tree, back into Wales, parked the car again, went out and had a chat with this guy. And the interesting thing was, I said, oh, how are you doing? And he said, I said to him, can I get you anything? And he said, well, I need some money for the gas meter. And I said, well, I can't give you any money, but do you want anything to eat? And he said, oh, yeah, please. And I said, well, you tell me what you want. I'll get it, anything you want. And what he said to me was this. He said, can you get me one of those £1.50 microwave meals? And I said, listen, you can ask for anything. You can ask for anything you want. And he said, oh, would you get me one of those for me and one for my girlfriend then? And I kept saying, no, ask for anything, anything. And at that point, I was almost thinking, if you had said, you know, I don't know how much I would have spent, but he asked for anything. In the end, I thought, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go. And I went into Waitrose, and I spent quite a bit of money on microwave meals and chocolate biscuits and things like that. And I bought an extra one for myself, okay, because they were on a deal. I couldn't shake the deal. Okay, It was, I don't know, 3 for something. Anyway, so I walked out with this bag of food, and I took one out that I was going to have for my lunch, and he went to take it. And he said, no, you can't have that. That's mine. This is yours. Take that. And he couldn't quite believe it. But there was a few things in there that I just thought, actually, sometimes God's after us to make decisions before, rather than this miraculous writing in the sky. Just everybody, we just need to do what we can. And then the other thing is, I don't know how much that guy would have got away with if he had said, do you know what, would you give me, you know, like, a week's worth of food for me and my 5 kids. If he'd said that, I'd have had to say, yeah, okay. But there is something about the generosity of God that I think that we are moving into. And then I was reading a passage later on that said, actually, you know, we can't expect to be generous people unless we are giving out of ourselves to the poor and just responding in any way that we can. His name was Nicky, by the way. If you see him, he's a really bad harmonica player, but he's a really nice guy. Speak to him on Finchley High Street. So this afternoon, I think we should have a special horn that every time everybody says good morning, or this morning we're looking at this. This afternoon we are looking at our gift day. And Andy has spoken about it already. I know that it's already a phenomenal response to what we're doing, but we are today engaging in an act of faith. We're engaging in something that we can't actually see what we're giving to, which is an extraordinary thing to do. And Hebrews talks about faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for and the conviction of things that are not seen. And I feel in this place, I'm asking you to give to something that you can't even see. And I'm asking you and myself to give to something that we may not even benefit from. Even what? You know, it might be, we might have to do 5 years of gift days like this before we get a pot of money that we can buy something. And some of you might have moved on from there by that time. And you might not even benefit from it. But I'm asking you to be a people of faith. Because God's called us to this area, to start an enduring legacy in this area. And the really interesting thing is this, that we feel God's got something for us on this building and this bit of land. When we knock this building down, by the way, I just need to let you know, I am going to be the first person with a sledgehammer. I am. When they sell this land to us and let us build something new on here, I'm going to be the first person with a sledgehammer, and we're going to build something on here. But I just need to let you know that we have been in dealing with the council for, you know, like, I don't know, 3 years trying to sort something out. We announced a gift day. We have a phenomenal response so far from the gift day. And then last week, the council got in contact with us for the first time in a long time, saying, can we have a chat about this building? Can we have a chat about, they're saying, do you want to play a part in this being redeveloped? Or what about relocating? So I don't know, but I think there's something about us, a little bit like saying, I'm not going to wait for the music to come on Radio 2 to go tell me to go and buy some food for that guy. I think there was a little bit about us making a decision now that we're going to start saving some money for a building. And then just miraculously, it seemed that the council are in contact with us. I want to do something before we have our gift day, before we give, which is something slightly different. We're going to look at two chapters in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And these passages are always my go-to passages when it talks about giving. I always love them, but I've never actually gone through the whole of those two chapters and just done them a chunk at a time. And we're going to do it differently. We're going to do a tag, a little bit of a tag preaching. And the person that I'm going to be tagging with is the wonderful Cameron Hanton. So, Cameron, are you ready? Have you got your mic? So, I read this book. John Stott really helpfully wrote a book. And it was called The Convictions of a Lifelong Pastor. And in there, he talks about the principles of giving. And so we're going to look today at, very, very quickly, 10 extraordinary principles of Christian giving. So if you've got 2 Corinthians chapter 8, what Cam is going to read the verses, and then I'm going to make a few comments, and then we're going to come backwards and forwards. Okay, so are we ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the first principle is, Christian giving all starts with God's generosity towards us. Cam.
We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, that's good. The first thing is, we just need to recognize that when Paul starts talking to the church in Corinth, he doesn't start with how generous the other churches are. He just starts how generous God has been towards them. He starts with God's grace, and he talks about this church in Macedonia, and it says that they were crushingly poor, but they were overflowing with joy because they knew how much God had given to them. And they became desperate to give. And I think there is a real temptation to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. And all generosity, I think the first principle of Christian generosity is this: I have so, so much in God. And sometimes the world will not tell you how little you have and how poor you are and how old your car is and how old your clothes are and how shabby your house is and how poor your holiday is. And the world will want to tell you all of that stuff. And yet I think the first principle of Christian giving is this: we have so much in Christ. I am rich beyond measure, not necessarily in all the material things, but I have so, so much. And that is exactly what Paul said to the church in Corinth. It's by the grace of God that we have so much. So the first principle, all generosity starts with God's generosity towards us. The second principle is this: Christian giving is actually, it's an act. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Cam.
But as, But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also.
Fantastic. Does anybody know the church in Corinth? Has anyone read 1 Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, first letter? Were they a really sorted church? No. They were a complete mess. There was all sorts. It's not that if somebody said to me, actually, Duncan, thank you for doing your time at Trinity Church in Colindale. We'd like you to go and lead that church in Corinth. Would you mind moving over there? And just think, no way, there's not a hope I would go to that church. Because they were a complete mess. There was all sorts of stuff that was going madly, madly wrong. But this thing, one thing that was going very well for them was they were a prophetic community, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were pursuing God. And I think, oh, actually, maybe it wouldn't have been a bad church to go to. Lots of things going wrong in the church, but they were pursuing God, and they really wanted to understand more of what God had for them. And they excelled in so many of the spiritual gifts. And then what Paul said to them is this: you are pursuing me, and you're pursuing the prophetic gifts, and you're pursuing good doctrine. And then he said this: and now go to the next level and pursue this gift of generosity. That is what you need to go to, take it to where you are next. As a church, we just say we want to delight in being in the presence of God. I really, really love being in the presence of God. And I like experience. I don't want to just know about the presence of God. I want to experience it. I want to be in worship like we were this afternoon. Not this morning. This afternoon. And I love it when we think, oh, no, I know that there is something of the goodness of the presence of God. I love it. I want to be in a place where people are giving their lives to Jesus, where we see people's lives transformed. And I want to be in a place where wherever you go, into your workplace and into your home and into your office, that you're bringing something of the transforming power of God. We know those three things, and we want to go for those. But Paul is saying here, you want to go to the next level again? Excel in this gift of giving. Be extraordinarily generous. That's principle number two. Principle number three is this: Christian giving is just inspired by Jesus.
I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich.
Fantastic. I love the way that Paul doesn't like command them to be generous. He doesn't say, you just have to do this. You absolutely must be generous. But he says this: I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. And I think Paul is just saying, if you want to grow in being generous, just look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did on the cross. We were so spiritually poor. I was very spiritually poor. Before I gave my life to Christ, I was extraordinarily spiritually poor. In fact, I was just dead spiritually. And Jesus was so rich, but Jesus gave himself for me, that I might become rich. Jesus became poor. He gave up everything so that I can be rich. And I think we have to, sometimes when we have a gift day and we're saying, give to this, and we can encourage one another, and we say, yeah, it's really good to do this. But actually, I think it's the foundation of generosity to say, I will be generous because though I was poor and Jesus was rich, he became poor that I might become rich. I have everything. I have everything in Christ. I've read some quote by, I think it was Malcolm Muggeridge. He's an old guy who was around a long time ago. He said something like this: I will embrace the day that I die like a warm embrace. Was Malcolm Muggeridge wanting to die? No. But what he's saying was this: that my life is now so in order. I have so much in order. Jesus has given me so much that even the very worst, even sort of like death, which, everyone's saying, no, you just avoid death at all costs. Malcolm Rogers said, no, I'm just going to embrace that because I am so rich in Christ. And the more that I realize that I'm rich in Christ, I think it just inspires generosity in me. Principle number four, Christian giving should always be proportionate.
And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is here, is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have.
Fantastic. We actually, at the end of today, end of these 2 weeks, I do want to have raised actually quite a significant lump of money that we can save to a building fund. But do you know what this? You just need to know, if you only have a little bit of money coming in, the expectation is that you give proportionately. And it just says, no, he who has a little, you give a little. He who has a lot, actually, no, you can give a lot. All Christian giving is all designed to be proportionate. Who was the woman that Jesus commended most of all for her giving? The widow. And how much did she give? She gave everything, but how much physically was it? Just a couple of coins. And other people were shoveling money in and they're pouring it in and saying, here it is, these thousands of... But Jesus picked that woman out. He said, look, she just gave everything. The monetary value, yeah, very, very small. But it was a heart attitude. It was a heart attitude. And Christian giving, I believe, should always be proportionate. It should be, he who has a lot, you give a lot. She who has an awful lot, she gives an awful lot. He who doesn't have a great deal, doesn't give a great deal. But it's about sharing something around. Okay, Christian principle number five. Our giving should help everybody to thrive.
For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack.
Paul was not suggesting that this church in Corinth gave a load of money so that they became poor and a church in Galatia became very rich. He wasn't suggesting that at all. But what he was suggesting is that when you have money, that you are able to give, and when you don't have money, you're able to receive. And I just need to let you know, I have done this. I have both given away a lot of money. Sorry, actually, I should correct that. We have both given away a lot of money. Jill doesn't know half the amount of money. No, she does. She does know. She knows everything. But we have both given away a lot of money and we have received loads of money. And there have been times when we have just been so poor, it's been ridiculous. So poor. And yet people have just put money through our letterboxes and people have given to us. Can I just put you, if you have ever been given any money, I'm not going to ask you to say anything, can you just put your hand up? People have ever given you money? Thank you. It's just extraordinary. It's extraordinary. We have been given so much, but at the same time, there have been times when actually we have had some money. And those are the moments we think, oh, yeah, we're just going to shovel it out as much as we can. And you just need to know that as a whole church, that we have been tremendously supported. So we have supported loads of other churches. We've given loads of money away to a church plant in Istanbul. And yet at other times, we've received loads. The whole genesis of this church, everything started when 20 other churches in London got together and said, oh, here you go, Duncan, go and start a church in North London. A bargain, thank you very much. So that's how it all started, because those churches supported us. And the whole thing is this, that it's about distributing something that enables everybody to thrive. What I would really like to do is, we said that we were going to give away a proportion of the money that we raise this week and next week to a church plant. And I want to suggest that Dave and I are going out to Munich. Where is Dave? Oh, there you go. So we're going out to Munich to see a guy who's planting a church out in Munich in a couple of weeks' time. We're just going to go there for 2 days. EasyJet flights, 45 quid return. You can't exactly say no to going out, can you? So we're going to go out for 2 days, and we're just going to go and pray for that guy that's planting the church and his wife out there. And I just think, oh, why don't we just take some of this money with us? It sounds quite biblical, doesn't it, to take some money with us and give it to a church plant out there. I just want to say, I don't think Paul was saying that all money should be communal, that everyone should be exactly equal. I don't think Paul is saying that, because there are certain times in the New Testament where it's evident that different people have different amounts of money, but there is this commitment to fairness in our money. I found this quote from Julius Nyerere, who is the former president of Tanzania, and he once said this, that he wanted to build a nation in which no man is ashamed of his poverty in the light of another's affluence, and no man is ashamed of his affluence in the light of another man's poverty. Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I never want to be embarrassed to have anybody round to my home. I never want to be embarrassed by anybody in this church. I never want them to walk into my home and think, oh, it's a bit flash, isn't it? I don't want them to. I'd like them to come in and say, oh, it's quite nice and clean. Mind you, okay, they're never going to say that because you have dogs, okay? If you have dogs, your house never sort of like is clean, okay? Just to bear in mind.
Thanks, love.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't mean that.
But the truth is, I do want to have that sense of, I want to be a church where we give and we are generous and we support one another. And it is one of the principles of Christian giving. Okay, our sixth principle of Christian giving is this, that our giving needs to be carefully and it needs careful and godly supervision, not carefully and godlily. Careful and godly supervision. Cam.
But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him, we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us. For the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. We will take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them, we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men.
Fantastic. I just want to let you know that actually in the church we do have a good system of supervising our finances. I just want to commend to you the trustees, so Jerry and Bryn and Steve, and we meet together every month and they just ask really difficult questions but they do an absolutely fantastic job. And then Dave does lots of stuff in the office and Manuela does lots of stuff. And then we have a team that does the counting and there are always two people that do the counting and then they sign it off. And actually we employ an external accountant, Wilton Mutlow, and we get all the receipts and everything every month. And then Manuela collates them and sends them all off to Wilton Mutlow. And then Wilton Mutlow sends the account. And I just need to let you know that actually I feel there is something of an openness in the way that we do our figures here. And also we try to do a monthly report, trustees report that goes up on the board. And I thought that was just a fairly normal thing to do. And then somebody came from another church and they said, wow, you do that? You let people know the figures? And I was thinking, yeah, don't you? And they said,
No, don't.
But we do want to do that, because there's a sense of openness and transparency, and we want you to feel absolutely that you can trust that every single pound that you give actually is well looked after, is supervised, and is spent in a very ordered and profitable way. Okay, our next principle is this. We're getting through there. Number seven, giving can be stimulated by the examples of others. Cam.
Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry of the saints, for I know your readiness. Of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that our care has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction.
I think this is quite interesting. Paul was playing some churches off against each other. Do you notice it? He was going to the church in Philippi. He said, to be honest, that church in Corinth, very, very generous. Very, very generous, that church. And then he went to the church in Philippi and they said to her, what are you going to do? So the church in Philippi said, Right, well, we better sort ourselves out. We better get a good offering going. So the church in Philippi then created this great big offering. And then Paul went back to the church in Corinth and he said, well, you know that church in Philippi? Very generous church. Very, very generous church. But you can read it. If you don't believe it, just read it, what it says it here. It says, otherwise, if some Macedonians come to me and find that you are not ready, Isaac, you're not generous, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you. You'll be humiliated if you're not generous in this matter for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge you to go on ahead and arrange in advance that you sort this thing out. All I want to say is this, that Paul clearly is engaged in a little bit of competition. The church is in the north and the church, who's going to be better? It's a dangerous game to play. I just need to let you know. It's not a game that you yeah. It's not a game that you can play, and we're not going to name and shame anyone at all. But I do need to let you know this, that it was when I read this that I thought, I'm going to write to a small group of leaders. I'm going to write to a small group of leaders and just say, do you want to contribute early? Now, I know this, okay. If I tell you how many leaders I wrote to, the first thing you're going to do is, okay, so what's the total amount divided by that? Oh, they gave that amount, which is totally wrong because you don't know how much anyone's going to give. But I just need to let you know, I wrote to a handful of leaders and they came up with this figure of £27,355. That's what they gave. It's just extraordinary that they gave it. Now, I think there was a biblical principle in this. And I think you can't then say, oh, well, how many leaders was it? That's how much they gave each. But you just need to know that the leaders overflowed with generosity. Now, what effect do I want that to happen in the church? If I'm really honest, I'd like it to happen the same as Paul with the church in Philippi and Corinth. I'd like you to be able to say, well, if the leaders are doing that, oh, well, I can do this. We're talking like different levels of generosity. Because, and it's not, that's first, the verse that Cam finished, he said, this is a ready, willing gift. It's not an exaction. We're not trying to extract money in any way. And there are some people that I said, actually, I would rather you didn't give to the gift day. Because they are already giving incredibly, and I did say that to somebody. I said, no, please don't give. Because what you are doing already is absolutely extraordinary. We're not, and because I didn't want them to give in a way that they're thinking, oh, okay, I have to do this. It's just about an attitude where we say, no, we want to, this is a willing, willing gift. Principle number 8. Christian giving is like growing vegetables.
The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgivings to God.
Fantastic. I would really love to go to Mill Hill Park, pick a few dandelion seeds, bung them in the garden, and in August eat really nice tomatoes and lettuce. Be great. It'd be really nice if you could just, because dandelion seeds, they're free, do you know what I mean? You can just go there, pick them up, pick a few weeds, bung them in the garden. I would really love to sow dandelion seeds that are free from Mill Hill Park and then come the summer, eat really juicy tomatoes and lettuce. But it doesn't happen. We eat what we plant. We reap what we sow. And when we sow generosity into our lives, guess what we reap? Generosity. It comes back. And if there's any principle that I think I have learnt in my life, there are times when you're poor, and then there are times you have much, and there are times when you don't have, and it goes up and down. But overwhelming the principle is this, that as I have given, God just gives. I constantly look, how on earth am I living in the house that I'm living in? And I just think, oh, it's God's generosity over my life. This lifelong period of, I want to be a generous, generous person. You just need to know also that giving is not a contract. If you give £100, you're not guaranteed to get £150 back. That's not the way it works. Sometimes Jill and I have given, and guess what? We've been poorer. Yeah, that's what happens sometimes. We've given £150, and then at the end of the day, we've looked at our bank account, we've been £150 less. But you know, overall, the gist of our lives and the pattern of our lives is this. As we have sown generosity as much as we have reaped far, far, far more. It's not a contract. But I believe that as I've been generous, we have been proven to be people that can be generous back. Okay, we're getting there. Number nine. Our giving unites us.
For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift.
The kids are ready to come out, I think. So we're gonna carry on. I want to say this, that when we give, we are united with other Christians. And we have a heart connection. And so when we give some of this money, and we give some of it to the church in Munich, we are united with them. When we gave and invested massively in a church in Turkey. Now, we were joined to the church in Turkey, and some guy called Andy McCulloch that was leading it. This passage here was talking about this. They had this Jewish-Gentile divide. And Paul was saying, no, we're not going to have that Jewish-Gentile divide any longer. And you Gentiles, I want you to give an extraordinary amount of money to the Jewish church. And it joined these churches together. And that is exactly what our giving is going to be doing. It expresses our theology. When we gave a few years ago, we started a CAP center. Now, 5 years ago, now we just run the CAP Centre as a matter of course. We had to have a gift day to start it, but now we just do it as a matter of course. But I think it unites us with people. And then the last point is this, that the more we give, the more thankful we become, I believe. And there are so many times when I have given something to somebody, like Nikki on the street, the harmonica. And he was genuinely pleased to get some food. And he said, he was really thankful to me. But you know, actually, I was most thankful that God had stirred my heart to give it to him. I just thought, oh God, you're so good. Now that is weird. God, you're so good that you prompted me to give to him. What is that about? And I'm just thinking, God, I am so grateful that you have so turned my life around that doing that is a greatest joy in my life. And that is one of the things that happens when we give. Yeah. That actually, yeah, are we grateful for the money? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But actually, we are more than that. We are grateful that God has massively turned our lives around. We're going to stop there. What time are the kids coming in now? The kids are ready to come in now. They're bursting at the doors. They have been called. Can I just ask you to stand with me? In a minute, when the kids will come back in, they'll come and join us. Let me just pray for us. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you that you have done an extraordinary thing in our lives. And I pray now, Lord, that you would burst out of us with generous hearts. Lord, this afternoon and tomorrow and all that has been given already, we want to celebrate every single sacrificial act of giving. We want to celebrate like the widow who gave her 2 coins and yet she gave everything. Lord, I want to thank you that you so got a hold of that woman's heart, that she trusted you. And I pray that today would be an act of trust and faith in you. And we declare, oh God, that over this money that we give this afternoon and next week, that there will be an eternal legacy, oh God, of a church in this community. We say we're after it, we're desperate for it, oh God. We want it to be used to build something that is extraordinary for you. We know, oh Lord, that actually you're not primarily about buildings. You're about hearts and people turn towards you, and you're about families, oh God, and you're about a church coming and loving one another and reaching out into the community. But we know also, oh God, that buildings root and establish a community into an area. And we say, oh God, that this area has had a dearth of churches. There is a lack, oh God, of vibrant churches in this part of London. And we stand up and we say, oh God, we'll stand in the gap. Lord, we don't know how many gift days we will have to run, oh God. We don't know how many years it will take, but we're starting something now, oh God. We're going to put a seed, we're going to put a stake in the ground now, oh God, that we declare, oh God, that you will have a church, you will have your legacy in this part of London. We know, oh God, that you have spoken absolutely to us about a church that plants other churches. Lord, we know that you have spoken. It's not in doubt, oh God. And so we just stand in the goodness of your promises. All your promises are yes and amen. And Lord, all that we give today, all that we give next week is just going to be fueling that yes and amen of the promises that you have spoken over our life. And Lord, I want to declare that as we do this act of generosity and this sacrificial giving, we want to thank you, Lord, that we've made the decision. Now, would you move in the heavenly realms, oh God? Would you move in the heavenly realms, release such extraordinary blessing on this place? Guard this area, we pray, for your kingdom, for your sake, we ask, oh Lord. Oh, come on, Lord. Father, we thank you.